1 Corinthians 10. As we go through the epistles to the churches, that's what these are. And I love these, the epistles to the churches. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, we go through these, and I'm continually reminded of how often Paul tells us, do not be in offense. You notice how he says it over and over and over. Do not be in offense. Don't be the reason for driving anyone away from hearing the gospel of Christ. And verse 32, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, Paul said, give none offense. Give none offense. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could do that? Give none offense. Neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, to everybody, anybody, give none offense. And throughout the last half of this chapter, that's what Paul is telling us, give none offense. And he divides this into two parts. We're going to pick up in verse 14, and he begins there by saying, give none offense to God. Don't be an offense to God. And then he's going to say, don't be an offense to men, to God or men. Now, we all know that our sinful flesh is an offense to God, don't we? To say, don't be an offense to God. We know that our flesh, by nature, can't do anything but offend God. It's sin is an offense to him. But in verse 1 of this chapter, he said, moreover, brethren. Brethren, he's speaking to believers, and he's telling them, after the Lord has quickened you, after he's opened your eyes and called you to himself, don't be an offense to his goodness and his grace by falling back in with, or given the impression that you're falling back in with, religion. That's what he's going to say today. Falling back in with religion. Do not compromise or give the impression of compromise for the sake of fellowship with false religion. Look with me over at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Is he saying don't have anything to do with unbelievers? No. Not at all. We're told to bring the gospel unto all the world, aren't we? But here's the key. We bring the gospel to all the world. We bring the truth to all the world. We don't lay down in the bed of lies and get comfortable in the bed of lies just for the sake of keeping peace with this world. Look with me at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, the darkness of religion, God is light. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie and we don't do the truth if we walk in darkness. So Paul is saying, first of all, let's be warned of the danger of offending our Lord in this matter of falling back in with religion. Now, go with me back to the text, 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 14 says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. He's saying, I know that you have some understanding in these things. I know that you've been taught of God in these things. So judge, discern. You decide if what I'm about to tell you is right. He's about to give them three examples, three illustrations of this offense. The first one, he uses the Lord's table. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? He's saying, when we partake of the Lord's table, you know, we have the bread, the unleavened bread, the wine. And in doing that, are we not confessing to God and to men that we are in union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that what we're saying? Why do we do that? So we can be saved? No. No, I'm not one bit more saved after the Lord's table than I am before the Lord's table. So why do we do that? We do that to tell something to God and men. I confess union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he's saying when we sit at the table of false religion, when we act like everything's fine with false religion, we're saying something to God and men. That's what he's telling them. We're saying something. All right, his next illustration is the spiritual body of Christ. In verse 17, he said, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." We're all one body in Christ, made up of many members. But here's what he's saying. Who you gather with is who you will be identified with. That's who you'll be identified with. I want to be identified, and I only want to be identified with the gospel, with the truth. That's it. I only want to be identified with those that bow to the truth of the Word of God. And I know you do too. I know that, and it's difficult sometimes. You'll find this is, I believe, a very, very vital thing to understand. You're going to find that there will be times when you're torn over what you ought to do. And Paul said, I only want to be identified with those who bow to the truth of God. All right, so his third illustration is the actual Jews that sacrificed on God's altar. Verse 18, behold, Israel after the flesh, the actual Jews, are not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? What he's saying is, whatever altar you are standing around is the altar you will feed from. So be careful. Whatever fellowship you are having, a lot of times we think we will influence unbelievers. And I'm going to tell you this, the only person who can influence unbelievers is God Almighty. And he will use certain things. There's no doubt about it. There is grace before grace. He'll use conversations and such on and so forth to bring a person to hear the gospel. But usually believers think, I'm going to align myself with them and have an influence on them. It is almost always the other way around. Almost always the other way around. And whatever table you're standing around, that's the one you'll feed from. Verse 19, what say I then? What do I mean by all this? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? The answer is no. The idol itself is nothing. I mean, it's nothing. Verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. He's saying, I don't want you to have anything to do with that mess. It's not good. It's dangerous. All false worship turns us from the true and living God. All false worship. It turns us from the true and living God. Everything other than God's truth has to do with man's will. Everything. I don't care what denomination it is. Every bit of it has to do with man's will. Free will. And the author of free will was Lucifer. And I'm going to show you that in Isaiah 14. Go with me over to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven." Now, how many people say that? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. If anybody's there, I'm going to be there. I will ascend into the heaven. I will, and I'm going to tell you, in the Scripture, every time somebody has this attitude, the Lord brings them down. Every time. You think about these kings, and you think about these, every time the Lord brings them down. Every time. He said, "I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Every worship other than God's will alone. God's will alone. The truth, the Word of God, is the only thing that is humble before God Almighty. That's what it is. It's the only thing that bows as it should be. He's the Creator. I'm the creation. He is the potter. I am the clay. And God's word and God's truth bows and says, "He will. He will." Everything that says, "I will," you'd better, is idolatry. And I tell you who the idol is. Right there. Free will. It's the creation of Lucifer. And all of that worship is of the devil, and it is to the devil. Even though they have a picture of a white man in a neatly groomed beard and beautiful flowing hair, I call him Jesus. I know a bunch of, I don't know any Jesuses, but I know a bunch of Jesuses. It's of the devil and it's to the devil. And just be warned. Be warned. Paul is saying don't have anything to do with it. Go with me back to 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 20 says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." We may think there's no real harm in falling in with and aligning ourselves with false religion in some way, shape, or form. I know what the truth is. I know what's right. I'm able to decipher it, cut out the bad stuff, take what's good. I'm okay. Paul says, let's be warned. Let's be warned. It's an offense to God. That's what he's saying, first of all. It's an offense to God. Verse 22, he said, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? The word jealousy means anger. He's saying, are we foolish enough to provoke the Lord to anger? Turn with me to Exodus 20. I know we're turning a little bit, but I feel like we need to. Exodus 20. This is the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 3, the Lord said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. A graven image is a man-made religious symbol. It's anything that man makes that when somebody sees it, it makes them think of religion, heaven, or anything. The most common one known to man is a cross. When you see a cross, religion. I love doves. I love seeing them sweep through the air. But as soon as you take a dove, put an olive branch in its mouth and shoot sun rays out from behind it, as soon as people see it, they think religion. It's a graven image. That man, that random man, nobody knows what God Almighty looks like. That man hanging on the wall is a great, you know, because we, let's put that in some special glass. It's a graven image. And he said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. If it's in the heaven above, and when you see it, it represents religion, he said, don't do it. And then he said, or that is in the earth beneath. A man was in the earth beneath. A cross is in the earth beneath. Or other things can be in the earth beneath. He said, don't do it. Or that is in the water under the earth. That's the one that gets me every time. I know I've told you so many times. How can anybody understand the Word of God and then out of plastic carve them or mold themselves a little fish and stick it on something? How can they do that? Anything that's under the water. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am an angry God. That's what the word jealous means. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So what the Apostle Paul is telling us is, don't become comfortable with these things, knowing what an offense they are to our God. All right, now go with me back to 1 Corinthians 10. Don't be an offense to God. And then he reminds us once again, don't be an offense to man, God or man. We should never be a personal offense in the name of God. This stands out to me all the time. James said, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. My anger, you know, well, I'm going to get mad for God. Well, James said, the wrath of man, my anger will not accomplish God's work. God's Spirit accomplishes God's work. And so Paul is saying, may God cause us to use a little wisdom, a little patience and self-control for the purpose of spreading the gospel. Verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now, he is not saying every single thing is lawful to me, because he just got finished saying, don't have anything to do with idolatry. Back in verse 6, he said, don't lust. Verse 7, he said, don't be an idolater. Verse 8, he said, don't commit fornication. Verse 9, he said, don't tempt Christ. Verse 10, he said, don't complain. He's not saying everything is lawful. Have at it. But what he's saying is the things that God says are lawful to us, all of them are lawful to us. And because our salvation is in the blood of Christ alone, because it is in the blood of Christ alone, I mean, that's where it is. When you get down to the heart of what will cause a man to be justified before God and be in his presence, it's the blood of Christ alone. Because that's the case, it may be fine for us to do something. It may be fine for us to eat something. It may be fine to drink something. It may be fine to go somewhere. Our salvation's not in any of those things. None of them. We might have liberties. It might be fine for us to do certain things, but it might not always be wise. It just might not always be wise. And I'll tell you that that's more often than we think. It's just probably not wise. May God give us wisdom. That's what we need, is wisdom in dealing with men and women. What we say, how we say it. Wisdom, that's what we need. Now, we could never hinder God's work. We just could never hinder God's work. But I tell you what we could do. We could bring a bunch of grief to the one he's working on. All of these warnings, you know, stay away from this and that. I tell you this, if a person belongs to Jesus Christ, not one will be lost. He will be in glory. But I tell you what can happen. Early on in life, he can get involved with this, and the Lord can let him go down that path and become torn all to pieces, miserable. The hard way. And in the end, if he belongs to Christ, like the prodigal son, he will bring him back. He will bring him to glory. But these warnings are for our good through this life as his children. If my daughters go on a wayward path, they're still going to be my daughters. But now they're on a wayward path. And so anyway, we couldn't hinder God's work, but we might hinder the one he's working on. We might be a grief to the one he's working on. If we continue to do that, he'll remove us out of the way. He'll do that. Paul says, for our own conscience sake, not wanting to be an offense to God, not wanting to be an offense to men. Here's how you respond if this happens. Look at verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, and that word means market, whatever is sold in the market, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. Whatever you come up on, you don't have to research it to find out, you know, was this used for idolatry, for false religion? You know, did this spaghetti come from the First Baptist Church? You don't have to do that. Verse 26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to him. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Just eat it. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's plenty of other things to eat, so you don't have to eat this. This thing of false worship is a matter of the heart. And that's what he's saying right here. A guy came into my store years ago, and he came in with a cross that he made out of matches, wooden matches. And they were, you know, like angled, all these matches, and they fanned out, and then it was all these matches and into this cross. And he said, I'm giving these out. It's a ministry I'm doing. I get these matches and I glue them all together, and it's my ministry. And I said, okay. You know, so he left and we broke up all the matches, and now we had this big pile of matches for free. Great. We lit candles and all kinds of stuff with them. And Just because those matches were at one time formed into an idol, Paul is not saying, now you have to steer clear of the matches. It's not about the item itself. But if a man comes up who is really worried that he doesn't want to offend God, and if he says, wait a minute, don't use those. Those used to be in the form of an idol. Paul's saying now it's time to say, oh, really? Well, let's just throw all those in the trash. There's other matches. You don't have to have those. Whatever it is, whether it's meat, whether it's drink, verse 28, if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you do eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. He's saying, if your response to this is, why should I do that? Why should I humor them? Why is my liberty judged? Why should I be hindered for his conscience? Paul said at the end of verse 31, for the glory of God, that's why. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So he said in verse 32, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. I just beg God to save men and women. That's what he's saying. When you get down to the bottom of all this stuff and all these details, the heart of the matter is, and this is what Paul's saying, this is what we're all saying, I just pray God would save men and women. And may he not allow me to be a hindrance along the way. I think that all the time. And Lord willing, in a minute, we're about to have a message. And all I want out of this is to not hinder God's message. Just don't let me step in the way. I'd love to just sit there the whole time. But may he make us instruments for his ministry and not against his ministry. May he give us this wisdom in his word and cause us to all really have a heart to be for his ministry and not against it. All right, you're dismissed.